Please be seated. I notice from my very marked-up book, which I know you've all looked at and commented on, but I notice from my that I it's the last time I was here. It was before Christmas, and how is it that I'm so unlucky that I haven't been here since?
Well, snow and ice and...
I tell you, this winter weather is not for me.
Well, we were thinking we were the unlucky.
I guess you're a penance priest.
Yes. A penance priest.
You jumped straight from Advent to Lent.
And missing all the joy in between. By the way, I want to thank you for your little Christmas gift. I very much appreciated that. Thank you very much indeed. Just to share something with you, you very kindly asked about Cecilia, my wife. As we don't have children, we decided that we would go for a nice peaceful cruise over the Christmas period.
Oh,
so we went to where did we go? Out of Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale, and we went on a cruise to the Western Caribbean. Now we know the Eastern Caribbean because if you remember, Cecilia is actually from Antigua. So we were going to the Western Caribbean, which we hadn't done. We'd stopped at places like Grand Cayman and a little island off Honduras called Roatan, and then down to Cozumel in Mexico. And we thought, well, this would be a nice, quiet trip. Well, little did we know. First and foremost, of course, being the Christmas holiday, we thought there'd be no kids. The boat was packed with kids. Just packed. And secondly, we thought, well, the weather will be nice. The weather was dreadful. And in fact, it was so bad. Outside, A, we had to skip the Grand Cayman because we couldn't go in. It was so rough. Secondly, the weather was so cool outside, and the ship was cool because it was geared to a hot climate, and the air conditioner was blasting out. So Celia got pneumonia.
Oh, no.
Isn't that awful? Anyway, she's now back and well. She is annoyed because of the cold weather. She can't go and play tennis. That's the one thing in her life she enjoys, playing tennis. Anyway, so next week we're going away to the sun, and I gather that the next weekend is going to be beautiful. So we always doing this wrongly.
Watch out for global warming.
What?
Watch out for global
warming. Yeah. Al Gore is the only one that's making any money out of this.
Well, he's in South America, so you...
He is in South America, is he? Are you talking about Al Gore? You're talking about...
I'm talking about Al Gore. Oh. You know, he's disappeared.
Oh, has he?
But they finally discovered he's in South America.
He's doing a Sanford, is he?
Yeah, I thought he was on the Appalachian
Trail. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I thought I'd take a few minutes to visit with you because I got a very short sermon. So,
well, was that the first cruise you've been on? Cruise?
No, we've been on a cruise before.
And they're wonderful. They are nice.
I'm so sorry. The only trouble is you've got to control yourself. They have food going 24 hours a day.
I know. I've been.
You really have to control this.
But you have to go back to Grand Cayman. I've been to Grand Cayman. Isn't it?
Was it beautiful?
Oh, it is.
Oh, dear. Have to go back to it then. Anyway, to the sermon.
Oh,
God. Boring. The Lenten fast has been fixed at 40 days in an imitation of a number of scriptural examples, the chief of which is our Lord's own 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. It is quite appropriate, therefore, that St. Matthew's account of our Lord's temptation is today's gospel. For because he himself has suffered and has been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Several lessons very fitting to this season can be learned from the gospel. First, we must all expect temptation, for we all are the adopted sons of God. Normally, temptations come upon us subtly, in unexpected forms and deceitful ways. Too often we have given in before we even realize that we have been tempted. This happens because the devil is the lover of deception, the spreader of all falsehoods, the familiar friend of darkness. He uses our secret longings and hidden weaknesses to corrupt us. He waits for the opportune time. Secondly, seldom does the devil emerge from the darkness, and he does so only when there is no place to hide, as in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness because only there, apart from the business and distractions of human society, would the devil be forced to reveal himself clearly as the principal enemy of light that enlightens every man. The 40 days of Lent are meant to be our wilderness, and this is the third lesson. By withdrawing somewhat from our normal way of life, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, by readings and meditation upon God's holy word, we force the devil to reveal himself and attack us openly. What comes to light, and this is the fourth lesson, that the temptations of the devil are of three kinds, just as Jesus' temptations were of three kinds. All sin arises from three sources: the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. Thus, the devil must play upon these, hoping that we shall either devote ourselves to worldly ends, or test God idly or presumptuously, or even abandon God entirely for the sake of pride. Still, such temptation is too hard to bear even normally, and which one of us will go deliberately into the wilderness to confront Satan? But we do not go alone, and this is the last lesson to be learned. We go in Christ, with Christ in us. We can overcome the adversary only by the grace of God given to us as adopted sons. It is a very great comfort to realize that the true Son of God has already overcome darkness with his own marvelous light. Therefore, led by the Holy Spirit, let us go with Christ into the wilderness to be tempted, there by God's grace to overcome our sins and arrive with renewed repentance and faith at the Easter feast. This has been unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.